Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Nonprofit You, a forum where nonprofit stakeholders can share lessons learned and discuss the latest developments in the industry. My name is Valerie Leonard, your host. I'm a consultant to nonprofits, and I specialize in community and organizational development. I work with nonprofit organizations to help them make a stronger impact to their clients and communities. You can find Nonprofit You on Facebook and Twitter, and I encourage you to comment early and often using the hashtags NonprofitU or at your service. You can also leave comments on blogtalkradio.com/nonprofit_you. The chat room is open and you can post comments and questions. In order to use the chat room, you must open a listener-only account. You'll find a link to open the account on the episode page, and you can also email me questions at consulting@valeriefleonard.com or send messages through Facebook and Twitter. You'll find a Nonprofit You fan page on Facebook, and the Twitter account is @NonprofitU, and we'll be taking questions by phone and from our chat room at about the 20-minute mark. The call-in number is area code 347-884-8121. Today's episode is At Your Service. We'll be talking to young activist Crystal Soemimo and hear about her involvement in social justice issues, including strategies to increase the earning capacity of North Lawndale youth and their families. Again, we encourage you to call in with questions and participate in live chats at about the 20-minute mark. The call-in number is 347-884-8121. Nonprofit professionals and community activists are especially encouraged to call in and share your war stories and strategies. As I said before, our guest for today is Crystal Soemimo. By the time Crystal graduated from college, she had at least 5 years of volunteerism under her belt. As a high school senior, she served as a tutor and mentor to at-risk refugee children in Houston, Texas. As a college student, she worked in broad-based coalitions to advocate against sweatshops. She engaged other youth in voter education and registration campaigns and started a public interest group for the university. She currently lives in Chicago and is actively working with a number of issue campaigns. Crystal works for a local nonprofit as the Community Outreach and Development Vista, where she builds resources for workforce development and for their North Lawndale site. She also plans to go to law school in the near future and pursue a career in law, focusing on issues that impact low-income communities. You can find a bio for Crystal on my blog, Nonprofit You, under Episode 8, At Your Service. Go to valeriefleonard.com/nonprofitU and click onto the episodes page. You'll also find very interesting slides that highlight her work in today's slideshow. So, Crystal, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got involved in community advocacy?
Sure, yeah. So I'm originally from Houston, Texas, born and raised. As you mentioned, I'm a recent graduate of the University of Houston. I graduated in May 2014 with a bachelor's in political science and a minor in education. I got involved in community advocacy during college when I learned about an internship from TexPIRG, and TexPIRG stands for Texas Public Interest Research Group. They were on campus helping people register to vote and get out to the polls early during the 2012 presidential election. So I went out and I voted early on campus, and I signed some of their information that they had on a table, and eventually I got an email from them about internship opportunities that they had for college students. And I applied for an internship, and then I started working on issue campaigns in the community and on my campus. And that's kind of how everything got started.
Oh, that's awesome. So the Volunteers in Service to America, more commonly known as VISTA, is a national program, and that was envisioned by the Kennedy administration, but actually implemented by the Johnson administration. VISTA is celebrating its 50th anniversary of fighting the war on poverty this year. Can you tell us more about the program and how you got involved?
Yes, so VISTA, as you mentioned, stands for Volunteer in Service to America, is a part of a larger program, which is called AmeriCorps, And the VISTA program specifically is a year-long commitment to service at a nonprofit organization in a community where people like me are placed there to build the capacity and resources for the organization to help increase their impact in the community that it serves. So I already had VISTA in the back of my mind when a colleague of mine, when I used to work on campus at school during my undergrad years, became one after they graduated. And so mm-hmm. I saw VISTAs, the work that they do, it seemed to be very noble and effective in the community. And I couldn't help but see myself doing that one day. But I actually decided to act on, you know, actually applying and going forward with the experience after reflecting on my experience in public policy and issues-based campaigns. And I realized how important the component of community development was to the bigger picture and how VISTA would allow me to do that. So I knew it was important for me to see what public policy and regulations and laws look like on the ground level with a nonprofit designed mm-hmm. to alleviate some of these issues that already existed in the community. And so becoming a VISTA really allowed for me to do this.
Oh, great. So you've been assigned to work with a local nonprofit to assist North Lawndale youth and their families to enhance their capacity to increase their earnings. Can you tell us a little bit about your assignment?
Sure, yeah. So I am the Community Outreach and Development VISTA for my organization. And so I build the capacity and resources specifically for the mm-hmm. workforce development team of my organization for the mm-hmm. North Lawndale site. And so this involves building relationships with employers and other workforce development resources in the community and reaching out to residents that live in many scattered-site buildings, which are like low-income and affordable housing buildings, and holding events and reaching out to them and holding events for individuals who are unemployed and underemployed so they can become job-ready and have access to employment opportunities. And so overall, mm-hmm. my role is to really help these individuals become more self-sufficient by helping them increase their skills and attain better employment to help lift them out of poverty.
Oh, great. And I can tell you, as a North Lawndale resident, that is so much needed. You know, for people who may not know, North Lawndale is one of the poorest communities in the city of Chicago, and about 40% of our families are living at or below the poverty line. So I can tell you, thank you very much for your service. That is definitely needed. So what have you observed have been some of the greatest challenges in helping low-income youth and their families increase their earnings potential?
So I've encountered several challenges, but one of the greatest challenges I've had was more or less an engagement issue, basically an engagement challenge with the residents that I work with. And this has a lot to do with behavioral economics. It plays a really huge role, like you said. You know, mm-hmm. a huge percentage of individuals that live in North Lawndale live at or below the poverty level. So getting them out of the mindset of I can't and being afraid of change and not being so focused on instant gratification in terms of what they want and how they, you know, manage their finances and making them see the bigger picture and what they can do to put them on a path that leads them to self-sufficiency. So engagement has been a really, really big challenge for me. And also I would say another big challenge has been something that's out of my control. I can kind of alter certain things to make individuals more engaged by, you know, building that trust and relationship with them so they can open up more about some of their barriers as to why, you know, they can't, you know, make it out to an event that helps them with employment and gain skills. Like if they need mm-hmm. bus fare and just building that trust with them so they can open up more about some of the other barriers that they have so I can fix those issues. And so the engagement piece, I mean, that's workable, that's solvable for me. But I would say the other big challenge would be the thing that's kind of a little bit out of my control is policy and economics. Like there's certain policies that are in place that affect the community that I serve. Economics plays a huge role as well. So just the fact, for instance, that there's not a lot of jobs in the community that of the residents that I serve is kind of an issue, and I can't really fix that. The fact that, you know, there's a lack of investment in this particular community in terms of attracting businesses to both that economic growth there. Because a lot of times I'll find myself like, you know, inviting employers who are basically concentrated in the West Loop, which is a more affluent area of Chicago, or the near west, or a lot of the times just the north side of Chicago, where there is, you know, a lot of investment and a lot of, you know, a huge concentration of businesses there that are offering employment. But, you know, the residents, on the other hand, they kind of have to go the extra mile, you know, to gain access to those resources in terms of employment and additional resources that they need to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
And so I found that that's out of my control. But that, mm-hmm. that's definitely played an impact on the outcome for these individuals. And so that I would say policy and economics has been a big challenge as well.
Oh, okay. So what strategies would you recommend for communities and organizations to actually overcome these barriers?
Yeah, so the strategies I would recommend for communities and organizations would be just realizing their own assets, their community assets, realizing the people power. A lot of times, like communities like North Londo, they don't really have much in terms of, you know, financial assets, but if you just kind of come together and harness the people power that you do have, I mean, there's a lot of people, and just utilizing the resources that you have, I feel like that's a really good strategy in terms of overcoming some of the existing barriers in the community. And then I would also say working with decision makers to make sure that their communities and their organizations are getting a fair deal when it comes to allocating more resources and investment in their community, and just kind of being a part of the policy making and the law changes that affect a huge part of their quality of life, and just demanding that investment in their communities and the tools to help organizations that serve those communities, I feel like is a really great strategy to help overcome the barriers to fight the war on poverty.
Mm-hmm. So can you share some of your North Lawndale success stories with our listening audience?
Yes, I would definitely say one of my successes was holding my first job readiness training and job fair event in the North Lawndale community. I was able to work with a local church in the North Lawndale community that was nearby the residence I served and like 10 buildings. So that mm-hmm. like central, it's a central location that all the residents can easily go to. And so I was able to work with a pastor at a church in that area to donate space for 2 days for me to hold a job readiness training and a job fair event. And so that was really great because I got that as an in-kind donation. I didn't have to pay, you know, the organization didn't have to pay out of its pocket to get that. And I feel like the community impact and the relationships built were really, really great because I was able to get resources from all over the community. I got a representative from the Garfield Park Workforce Center to come out and do the job readiness training for individuals to teach them, you know, interviewing techniques, how to be mm-hmm. Successful once they get a job. And I also was able to get a representative, a photo examiner down from the National Labor Relations Board to just kind of educate individuals on what their rights are in the workplace and what their rights are in terms of electing a union, if they want a union, and what some of their rights are when it comes to their employers and how they're treated. And then also just the job fair event was really, really great. I was able to get a lot of organizations that are hiring, and then also additional resources like the Secretary of State to come out to educate individuals on how to get their state ID, because sometimes one of the barriers of getting a job is that you just don't have that correct documentation needed to move forward with your job. So having individuals like companies and organizations that are hiring and additional resources that I know are helpless, little things like that was really, really helpful for a lot of people. And so the community impact was really great, because I saw that, you know, it really made a difference in a lot of people's lives, and there were some successes out of it. And I would also say holding a manufacturing info session and collaboration with a really great organization that serves the west side of Chicago called Bethel New Life. And basically just, again, the community impact and the relationships built out of that manufacturing info session. I was able to educate individuals on, you know, the new trend of manufacturing and job creation, and how middle-class jobs are being created with the manufacturing industry, and just educating them on the resources that are available with organizations like Bethel New Life that are able to train people free of cost to get the certifications and licenses needed to get middle-class jobs that will lead them out of poverty and help them, you know, gain self-sufficiency. So that for me was like a really great experience, and I feel like a lot of people got a lot of good information out of it. And I would say one of the other things that I would consider a success is just meeting really great leaders in the North Mandel community. Like, I've been building relationships with employers and organizations, and I've been able to meet a lot of leaders in North Mandel who are really out there trying to make a difference. And they changed my perspective on things. They helped educate me on a lot of things, you know, not being from the North Mandel community, not even being from Chicago. So just being around them and just learning how to be a really, really good follower really helped me throughout the process, because I learned things that helped me, you know, be more successful at my job, which in turn, you know, created better outcomes. So that's by itself, you know, it's general, but I feel like that was also a success.
Well, awesome, awesome. And again, thank you for your service in North Lawndale. You know, you and I are working together on a committee that is going to be doing community planning across several quality of life sectors in North Lawndale. And you have definitely made a huge contribution, and you're very, very well respected by your peers on the committee. So thank you again.
No problem. So
thank you so much. Okay. Your activism, it began in earnest in high school when you started tutoring and mentoring refugee children in your hometown of Houston. So how did you get involved, and what were some of the lessons learned and some of the outcomes?
Yeah, so interesting for me, like, I got involved because the high school that I went to, it was an international studies high school, and one of the requirements, actually, for graduation is that we do a community service project, and that community service project had to be targeted towards what we wanted to do in terms of a career in the future. So it was a requirement for us to seek out a project, and so I did. I learned about the organization where I mentored at-risk refugee youth after school at a fair on campus, and so when I saw, you know, that organization, in the back of my mind, I was like, it immediately clicked for me. I already had like an interest in education and some of the issues in the education field. And then also I was already interested in international studies. I went to an international high school. So I was already, you know, drawn to that particular project. And so I went forward with it. And so I learned a lot of things being a volunteer, community volunteer. I learned basically the big thing that I learned is the importance of being involved in your community and the tremendous impact that it makes. I mean, it may seem like really obvious, like, oh, you went out and volunteered in your community. Of course, that's important to you. But, like, I don't think that if my school didn't make it a requirement, I don't think I would have had that experience. I don't think that would have clicked to me and saying, okay, yeah, it's important for me to help out and do things in my community to help people who are a little less fortunate. So I really learned how important that is, because you do make an impact in the lives. I didn't realize it at the time, but I did make an impact in some of the lives of the students that I mentored and tutored, whether it's just like helping them with their homework or just teaching them little things that, you know, that's appropriate in American culture, just getting them assimilated to the things that we do and how we think. I mean, it makes a really huge difference in terms of how, you know, they adjust to their environment and how they feel comfortable in their environment. And eventually just it contributes to their success in the future. And so, yeah, I would say that was definitely a lesson learned for me, just being involved in your community and how that really makes an impact.
Okay, great. And the work you do is so developmental, it's hard sometimes to see an immediate impact.
Right.
But clearly your work has made an impact, as you can look back and see over time, and that's great. Especially since you're so young, it's wonderful to be able to see the fruits of your labor at such a young age.
Yeah.
So, as a college student, you were one of the organizers of the Houston United Students Against Sweatshops. Can you tell us more about this coalition and some of your issues and actions and the outcome of your work?
Sure, yeah. So, I got involved with Houston United Students Against Sweatshops through recruitment, basically. I was already involved on campus with another organization that I created, and they reached out to me via email, and I learned about the issues of sweatshops and some of the organizing that was going around it, and some of the people on my campus at the University of Houston that was actively working on the issue of sweatshops. And so I worked with the president of the student chapter of Houston United Students Against Sweatshops at UH. Mm-hmm. And so basically what we did was educate the public about the working conditions in factories and the need for coalition building to help garment factory workers receive a living wage. So basically teaching people to support ethically made clothing, ethically made collegiate apparel, to put pressure on other companies that are not necessarily following that trend, so they can basically putting consumer pressure on them, so this affects their, you know, their profit margin and pressuring them to do the right thing. So all workers are, you know, getting paid a living wage and are working in, you know, safe working conditions. So that's what we did. It was a lot of educating the public and engaging the public, and also organizing the president of our university and the manager of the bookstore, so they can actually, you know, cut contracts with companies that are, you know, are well known, that are documented to use sweatshops, you know, in their factory, and also not pay their workers a living wage, and just kind of pressure them to like cut contracts with them and just increase, you know, their relationship and increase the amount of ethical apparel that they carry in our bookstores. And so we did a lot of actions with that, like emailing the president to try to arrange a meeting so we can get that done, and working with the manager of the bookstore. And so working with this group ultimately allowed me to become a coalition partner with Solidarity Ignite, Alliance for Global Justice, and this relationship allowed me to travel to the Dominican Republic and Haiti to experience firsthand from factory workers, their experiences in the industry, factory workers who've had that experience working in a sweatshop and not being paid, you know, a living wage, and not being treated fairly and have unsafe working conditions. And also some of these factory workers were able to come together and organize and create a union so they do get paid a living wage. And one of those factories is called Alta Gracia. They make collegiate apparel, and they're so far the most well-known factory that is well-known to pay their workers a living wage and treat them fairly And so we actually went to that factory and saw firsthand the changes and their experience. And so that was a really great experience for me. And I also, during this trip, I received a lot of training to help me build the campaign on campus once I got back. So it was also, you know, a learning experience for me. And so, yeah, it was a great experience. I learned so much in the realm of, you know, labor unions and organizing during that experience.
Oh, that's great. That's great. So also as a student at the University of Houston, you served as the vice president of the school's chapter of the Texas Freedom Network. In this capacity, you organized the Texas Rising Civic Engagement Campaign on campus, and you helped the youth to increase their voter turnout in Texas, and you also provided education for students and voter education, as well as education about policy issues. Can you tell us how you went about organizing a campaign and some of the strategies you used for voter education and turnout?
Yeah, so the Texas Rising Civic Engagement Campaign on campus was basically an offshoot of my internship experience. Like you said, I was the vice president, so like with my internship, we were able to create a student chapter on campus. And so it was an offshoot of that. And some of the issues that we worked on were like reproductive justice, some of the textbooks that are approved by the State Board of Education and subjects like science and social studies. And we worked on some issues on LGBT inclusion and equality. So those were the issues that we, you know, were initially working on campus. And so that was more or less an offshoot of the work that we were already doing. And so we came together and created the Texas Rising Civic Engagement, which was more of a training on campus. And we pretty much recruited individuals and brought them together in a room and educated them on policies behind the issues and the importance of showing up to the polls. And we just kind of reinforced, like, Texas is ranked dead last in voter turnout. And even higher in terms of the youth voter turnout. And this has a lot to do with some of the policies that were put in place that, you know, restrictive voter ID laws, and just kind of educating them as to with other organizations who were doing similar work and who were also working on civic engagement, voter issues, and just bring them all together, bringing all the leaders together in one room and getting them all on the same page to basically help increase youth voter turnout in Texas, since that's been like a huge issue for us.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. So can you share three lessons learned in your advocacy and civic engagement?
Sure. So one lesson that I learned, one big lesson, is that relationships matter when building a movement. When I first started off as an intern for TechPerk, I was a real newbie in terms of, you know, I was working on the student aid campaign, Don't Double My Rate campaign to prevent student loan interest rates from doubling. So I was really new at organizing, so I made like a ton of mistakes, which is completely normal. But eventually, I realized how important it is to build relationships with individuals in terms of making that movement successful. So I learned it was a lot of give and take, and, you know, not necessarily saying, you know, oh, I'll do this for you if you do that for me, but more or less just like showing your support for other leaders on campus and for other organizations and helping them out, and then in turn just inviting them and educating them on some of the issues that, you know, I was involved in really made a difference later on, you know, once I got better at advocacy and, you know, and civic engagement. So just building relationships. And then another thing I learned is doing your homework. Doing your homework on all the issues. And I learned that doing your homework helps you become more strategic and it helps you win. So that was a really big thing for me. It's like you can't really go out there and work on a campaign, you don't really know much about it. So just like taking the time, like fully like educate yourself on, you know, what's going on before you kind of go and throw yourself out there really makes you better at your job. And then the last thing I learned, is just having a passion for what you do, and also just surrounding yourself with others that have that same passion. When I first started off, like, organizing on issues, like, I've made the mistake of just trying to, like, recruit some of my friends who really just didn't have an interest in political stuff, even though I would, like, you know, tell them some of the really horrible things that are happening that may affect you. But it's like, you can't force someone who doesn't really have that same passion to be a part of your movement. You have to go with like-minded individuals who are already doing the same thing, because ultimately that just makes you better at what you're doing, and it just makes the movement better. So just having a passion, like not working on something that you're not really interested in, and, you know, trying to engage people who aren't really interested in it. So just having a passion for what you're doing and surrounding yourself with people who have that same passion is a big thing for me that I learned.
Right. And that's really, really good advice. And I would say that the same advice goes for nonprofits who are doing board development. If you're starting a nonprofit, it's very important to make sure that the people in leadership actually buy into the mission, and they're not just joining a board or some committee just because they like the leader. You know, they have to really like the cause and be passionate in order for the organization to sustain itself over the long term.
Right.
So,
it's passion raising, something I learned.
Yes. As an activist in North Lawndale, one of the greatest challenges that I see is getting young millennials involved in the civic affairs of our community. I mean, they may be involved, but it's hard for them to work right alongside with the more mature adults. You and I are working together on a community planning process, and you kind of see, you know, from that room what I'm talking about. You know, you're the youngest person there, and we really need to get more young bodies involved. So how do we get more millennials like yourself involved in communities like North Lawndale? And not that they're not involved, but how do we make sure that we can have coalitions that go beyond age boundaries, you know what I mean? Have multi-generations working side by side.
Yeah, so overall the answer would be being strategic. So like just going in and doing your research specifically on millennials and figuring out what millennials like and what millennials want. Being a millennial myself, I feel like I don't speak for everyone, but for the most part, millennials don't have any boundaries. They don't like to set any boundaries for themselves. The sky is the limit.
This is true.
We do whatever we want. We're kind of self-centered, you know. We're on Facebook, social media. We like to speak our mind a lot. So being really strategic in that, like just going where we are, because a lot of my peers that are my age, I'm a little, you know, abnormal in this case. Like I kind of put myself out there, you know, regardless of people's ages, but I know a lot of my friends are very hesitant in terms of speaking with individuals who are older than them, because it's kind of like, you know, like they're talking to their parents or something like that. Like they find a really hard time like relating to older individuals. So just my advice for individuals like you is just to go where we are, like go to our events and support us and our causes. And that by itself would definitely, you know, build that relationship with millennials and get them on board with what the older generation is doing. And just empowering us. A lot of the times, like for me personally, I can't speak for everyone, and I feel like a lot of older individuals, I don't know, because they've experienced life more and they've gone through a lot of things, a lot of the times they speak in terms of like, you can't do this. And for me, like, I don't think that way. I think the sky's the limit. There's unlimited possibilities. Don't tell me I can't do anything. Tell me what I can do. So just empowering young individuals, and that, you know, telling them to settle for this or you can never change this. I think that coming with an attitude of empowerment would really get millennials engaged in the community affairs and civic affairs process, and would be more than willing to start working around more adults.
Okay. That is definitely great advice. We have a couple questions from our chat room. I want to share with you. The first question is, have you been able to get involved in any issue campaigns here in Chicago beyond the work that you do with VISTA?
Yes, I have. So before I started as a VISTA, I worked on several campaigns. One of them, the first campaign I worked on, was an environmental campaign on protecting the waters of Lake Michigan. And so educating the public on some of the pollution that, you know, Lake Michigan is experiencing by big companies, and just educating them on some of the things that the EPA is trying to do was one campaign that I worked on. And then another one that I really, really liked was working on a campaign which was basically focused on raising the state minimum wage. So I went out and canvassed and organized universities and schools and their students on the campaign and educating them on why it's important to raise the state minimum wage. So that was really great, and just getting people registered to vote and then getting them out to the polls was a really great experience for me. And during that experience, I was also kind of building the momentum and support for other issues, like having an elected school board, which is a really big issue here, specifically in Chicago.
Yes.
That you guys don't have an elected school board, despite so many other cities having that. And so just educating people on why it's important to have an elected school board, because, you know, it's more representative of, you know, the neighborhoods and the areas that a lot of these, you know, especially underdeveloped communities where a lot of these youth live, and just having that, you know, democratic process and just educating people on as to why that's important. And so, you know, have any more massive school closures without the consent of the community. So that was a really great campaign. So just generating support on campaigns, local campaigns, was another thing that I did here in Chicago before I started as a VISTA.
Okay, awesome. And we have time for one more question. And this one is, what advice would you give to young high school students who may want to get involved in their communities?
Yes, that's kind of a tough answer, but I would say volunteer work, going out and volunteering in the community, I feel is the best way to go about it. Going to like your local community center, just being involved, immersing yourself in the issue, like showing up to like a city council meeting is one thing, but I would definitely say just immersing yourself into what's going on in the community and being involved in the community. And that, I feel, starts with volunteering and being at service in your community.
Okay, great. So we've come to the end of our show, and I'd like to thank Crystal Soemimo, a local activist, for being my guest today. Crystal, would you care to share any parting thoughts and tell us how we can reach you, and most importantly, how we can get involved?
Yeah, so I would like to thank you so much, Valerie, for inviting me onto your show. I really appreciate it. I personally admire you so much. I remember, like, when I first learned about you, I was kind of just stalking you online and just reading about some of the stuff you were doing. So, and you're doing really great stuff, so I always wanted to work with you. So thank you so much for inviting me onto your show. And yeah, I definitely, you can reach out to me on Facebook. I have a Facebook page, and I also have a LinkedIn page. And how you can get involved, definitely just start with your community. Volunteer at like your local school, elementary school, or your local community center is like the best place to start in terms of getting involved.
Okay, great. You know, you are such an old soul. And when I say that, I don't mean that condescendingly. You're wise beyond your years. So I thank you so much for sharing your nuggets of wisdom.
No problem.
So thank you for listening to Nonprofit U Blog Radio Talk Show. The show will be available for download within about an hour. Be sure to tune in next week when our next guest will be Ileana Serrano of the U.S. Census Bureau. She'll provide an overview of the new updates to the census.gov website and share ways nonprofits, small businesses, and activists can use the data. I'm looking forward to a very lively discussion. See you next week.